What are you doing?
Scanning.
Hey, yo, BC, the turntable biotic. Hit him with the good stuff, gone.
Probe away.
I'm Commander Shepard.
Probe away, way.
You wanna see if I've got the minerals?
Probe away.
I'm Commander Shepard.
Probe away, way.
Beep it, I'll break
it down so you can absorb what you need to mine planets, minerals, and do it. Welcome to No Quarters, episode 5.
Hey, we're a podcast.
A podcast about video games, in fact.
Indubitably.
And video game related game stuff.
Yeah. Games.
Yes. Brought to you by people who are in no way industry insiders.
Or affiliated.
We're industry outsiders.
Yeah. We're just dudes that like to play games and talk about them.
Yeah. And that makes us special because, you know, not just any person can do that.
No.
Yeah.
Or not have, just or any have person internet can access. Have a computer and internet and microphones.
Yes.
Anyway.
But us three, we can do
yes,
it.
Yes, we have successfully done it, in fact.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm Mackie.
I'm The Beach.
And I'm Harlow.
And this week, it's going to be all about Mass Effect 2. Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah.
There's been a shit ton of Mass Effect 2 played.
We're going to pretty much keep any and all spoilers out of it as much as we can. I mean, especially because, well, I finished it and Mackie has not.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through.
Yeah, so obviously I'm not going to say anything that's going to ruin it for him, and I certainly wouldn't want to ruin it for anything else.
Yeah.
If anything, we're going to talk about...
We're gonna spoil some Mass Effect 1 stuff.
We're going to spoil the crap out of Mass Effect 1. I'm just going to get that out of the way, but you've had your time.
Yeah. So if you didn't do it in the past 2 years...
Make your time.
Exactly.
Okay.
So...
Mass Effect 2.
So, yes. You, Harlow, you played... I noticed the weekend after it came out, or the weekend it came out, you played all the way through Mass Effect 1, pretty much.
Well, I was a good ways into that playthrough already. Because back in the day, I started that playthrough thinking, oh, I'm going to do the insanity, whatever the hardest level achievement thing is. And
How'd that work out for you?
I got a few battles in and was like, yeah, I don't care. So I'm just going to go for playthrough number 2 and set myself up for Mass Effect 2. And, you know, actually try to enjoy this instead of a world of pain, Smokey.
That was a smart way to do it. Because, insanity on that game was a world of pain.
Yeah.
But you did exactly what should be done, because the way they've integrated Mass Effect 1 and 2, it really feels like one big game and one big storyline, because the amount of stuff that they integrated from, you know, playing the first one and going into the second and everything that carries over... It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And strangely enough, I mean, I played through Mass Effect 1 shortly after it came out. Never touched again. You know, you pretty much absorb the game as much as one human probably can.
Yes.
And I was weird in that, like, I barely remembered anything about that game. I mean, it was an enjoyable experience. And I remember when it was over, I was like, wow, that was fun. You know, that was a good story. You don't get that kind of sci-fi story in a game very often. And then it just left my mind. Like, I had vague, you know, I just remember Moon Patrol, buggy missions.
Yeah.
You know, buggy in that, you know, the ground car, not full of errors.
The Mako.
Yeah. I mean, I remember a couple of things, like, you know, while we're spoiling, I mean, I remember the giant spaceship crashing into the Citadel and, you know, some major plot points, things like that.
But I mean, the last 2 or 3 hours of that game is some of the best video game storytelling you're going to get anywhere. And then, that's the stuff I remembered. My mind, maybe because I had done so much of it in getting all the ally achievements and all that stuff, I'd done so much of the running around generic bases and finding mineral deposits on planets that I didn't even remember any of that stuff anymore. It had stripped away, and all I remembered was the storyline.
Yeah, I mean, I had little pieces that I remembered. I mean, and you know, some of the major storyline stuff, but like, I just remember like the space monkey mission, you know, like random weird things like that, like a random mission you can go do, and oh, they stole a transmitter by what looks like a monkey. Go chase him down.
Yep.
You know, but in playing through again, it was a very good thing to do. I tried to be more thorough this time. I still was nowhere near like doing 100% of it.
No, it's like very tough to do 100% of
it. But yeah, I mean, I hit a lot of the major plot points, and I'm really glad I went through one again before starting two. That being said, 2 is a way better game.
Oh my god. It's light years better.
Yeah.
They've streamlined everything.
It is so good. I mean, I really, really, really got into 2.
Mm-hmm.
And just enjoyed the piss out of that one.
I'm really liking your team much better in this one. Mm-hmm. Like all the characters.
I will say, coming fresh off of Mass Effect 1, starting Mass Effect 2 was a little off-putting, actually.
Really?
I felt very much in the beginning like you'd sat and watched Alien and Aliens back-to-back,
mm-hmm.
and this cohesive, you know, single-purpose story, and, you know, the entire last hour of Aliens, you know, they're running in. It's all about save the girl, you know, she's all that's left of this colony. We've got mm-hmm. to do this and, you know, risk it all. You know, no man or child left behind. Yeah. And then the beginning of Alien 3 in the first 5 minutes, like, yep, fuck it, they're dead. They died in hypersleep. You've been asleep for another 50 years. You know, everyone that was left over from the first one's dead. The first 5 minutes, move on. And that's pretty much what Mass Effect 2 does. I mean, in a way.
Kind of.
Kind of. You know, I mean, it's just like, you immediately, like, in a way, discard. And most of your core of things that you did in the first one don't really count. Like, you start off, you have none of your original team, really, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And so,
reset it and they give you a new team, but...
Yeah, I'm throwing that out there. I mean, it's not detrimental. It's just, in the beginning, it's a little off-putting because you're like... Whoa.
Yeah, you do feel like you're starting over, yeah. But...
I mean, if you buy into the mythology of the game, I mean, you know, if you can, you know, let yourself go and get into the morality things of the game, you know, you're fighting for... the Alliance and ultimately the Council and, you know, all this. And in the beginning, you feel like you don't have a choice and that you're now working for this offshoot corporation that, you know, some people would call terrorists,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's a little off-putting because it's like, you've taken this out of my hands and I don't have a choice kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, you have to let that go and just move on because it becomes a very, very good game.
Yeah, I got over that pretty quickly.
I know, just throwing it out there.
But
that's an initial reaction kind of thing.
Like the whole world, everything you do feels much more... It feels like a real world. In the first one, it's everything's so sanitary and clean, and it feels very much like a video gamey place. Mm-hmm. Whereas like the worlds that you go to this time and the places you go feel much more real to me. And maybe it's just because it's all the griminess, all the other stuff. You know, it's kind of like the difference between like the sanitary Star Trek, you know, future. And then there's kind of like the, you know, aliens future where it's grimy and dirty and, you know, very utilitarian almost. And
yeah,
I enjoyed the contrast that's going on.
Yeah. But no. I mean, like I said, that this was the initial like first hour reaction of like, I'm not sure I like this.
Well, you know? The biggest difference I think is whoever wrote this one really got a sense of humor between the first game and the second game.
Yes.
Because, wow, there is so much subtle humor,
mm-hmm.
but some of it is just hilarious.
Yeah, and there's some...
And you're not expecting it at all.
You know, again, not wanting to get into the spoiler territory, but there's some great digs at people like GameSpot or GameStop and Monster Cable and,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's just people like that. I mean, it's just, it's very funny.
Yeah. God, there's so much good stuff in that game. And, you know, I still like the system, the Renegade and the Paragon system that they used where you don't have to pick one or the other. You can still do things from either of them. And God, it's just so much fun.
Yeah. Cause I mean, stuff. I played through pretty much, I'd say 95% of my choices being Paragon style choices. You know, I want to do the right thing kind of deal. But there's a couple situations, you know, and this is one of the things they introduced is you could always in your dialogue choices go through and, you know, things typically at the higher of the little chart that they give you for picking your dialogue options were the Paragon choices and the things lower.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had blue things that were very obviously Paragon and red things that were very obviously Renegade.
Which were actually the challenges in the original game.
But now you have these things in certain situations where you can do like a quick time event and pull your trigger, you know, depending on if the Paragon or Renegade thing flashes up on the screen and pretty much interrupt the action. And there's a couple of points where it's somebody goes off on this thing and it's like you hit that renegade button and it's so great. Yeah. It's like somebody's just going on about I'm gonna conquer the universe and blah 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 blah, and you hit the renegade and he just whips out the pistol and goes poof, right between the eyes.
there's another one where you could
it's like, that Indiana Jones.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, there's another one where you can just like this one dude, you've just finished a conversation with him and you need his ship or something like that. And the guy's working on the ship and you just pick up like this electric shock baton thing. And you're just like, you're working too hard. And then you stab him in the back. And the guy's like, ah! He's like screaming as he dies in flames. And you're like, holy shit.
Yes. Maybe I should get excited about this game.
Yeah. In certain situations, I mean, even going renegade is still the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, in a video game sense, some of these people, if you go Paragon route, you're still going to fight these people,
mm-hmm.
If you go Renegade, it's just going to take them out and you don't have to bother fighting in the traditional combat sense.
Yeah. Cause basically when you pick Renegade, it's like, this person is going to die. It's pretty much what Renegade equates to. It's very little.
It's basically pulling a Han Solo. I mean, you're shooting first before they can start shooting at you.
Right? Yeah. The reporter that I talked about that you can punch in the mouth in the first game is back. And yes, you can punch her in the mouth again.
And did you?
Yeah.
Okay, because the Paragon route is just as awesome.
Actually, yeah, I went back and replayed it because I'm actually doing Paragon with this one.
It's really
but just that as one. Awesome. As soon as I saw her, I hit save because I'm like, all right, I'm punching this bitch in the mouth. And yes, he.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 2. You can punch that bitch in the mouth.
What's great is. There's the whole import thing where if you were level 60, it gives you, I think you start at level 5, you start with a whole bunch of resources and money, which was nice since those actually matter now, as opposed to the first
game. That's the thing, we should point out is when we say a lot of things carry over from one, that's if you're importing a save game from one. If you're starting off fresh, I don't know how much is going to carry over, plus I don't know how much is going to make any sense.
It's actually the interview scene when you're on the shuttle. If you play a new game, there's a lot more questions that pertain to what happened in the first one. So that's kind of how you can set it, I believe.
Well, but I mean, this is not a game to go out and buy and play if you haven't played one. It's like watching Empire without having seen Star Wars. And why would you do that?
It's going to be fun, but you're not going to get nearly the... Because, I mean, I don't know how they fit all that stuff in a save, all the things that you did. Because there are certain... I mean, there's one lady that is talking about, I think it's like giving up her baby because it might have some kind of illness or something. And you can either talk her into giving it up or you can talk her into keeping it. And then like she shows up in the game talking with the other dude that was arguing with her. I mean, just like little, random, stupid little things that I had completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
I mean,
can you just murder her baby?
No, the kid is actually not in the game.
Fuck.
Yeah. But it's her discuss, like they're buying things for the kid and they're having some discussion and you don't even talk to them. They're just like standing off to the side in some store discussing it. And then I was like, wait a minute, that name sounds familiar. And then I remembered who they were and it's, there's just stuff like that is all over the game.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm talking at some points at most a week between things and I'm still going, you're that person. Cause that was such a minor thing in one that they show back up. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Though. Yeah, and it doesn't really, from what I've seen so far, those don't tend to amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of like, oh, cool, that's what happened to that person. But it's still, it makes it so much more, it makes it feel like you did something, like all the stuff you did in the first game mattered so much more.
Yeah, and again, like I said, spoiling the crap out of one, there's a mission in one where you save this a politician on a spaceship that's been taken over by biotics, are basically, let's say, force using people. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the best way to equate to what, but it's all genetic enhancement stuff. And they're pissed off because apparently the first generation of biotic people, it was very unstable and gave them problems. So they're basically like, they hold this guy hostage and you can talk him out of it or you can kill him.
Yeah.
And those are your two choices. And it's just cool because you feel like you actually change the universe depending on what happened. I didn't actually meet the guy, but you have this little email system in Mass Effect 2 where this guy emails and he's like, I've gone through and I've given reparations and we're working to fix the level 2 biotic people. And so you actually feel like you've affected this.
And there's also newscasts in most of the spaceports where you hear it like it over the speaker system. And they mention that one too.
Yeah.
Like they mentioned that how certain people got, you know, whatever, like got paid for what right. had happened to them. And just little small things like that, but that makes you say, yeah. okay, yeah, that's.
Yeah, it's just nice because, like I said, it makes you feel like you've altered this universe mm-hmm. in some way.
Yeah, because when you start a save game, it just has, I think it's a list of like five choices that you made mm-hmm. in the first one. And it's like, okay, here's the deal. You know, you let Rex live, you let Caden die, you know, that a few other things where it's like, okay, yeah, okay, that's cool. You save the council or whatever. And then later on you pick who was going to be the ambassador, I think.
Something like
at
that.
At a certain
yeah.
point. But that's like just, at first I was like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of cool. But I did not expect the level
right.
of everything that they put in there.
Yeah. So.
But God, it's, when you meet the council again, I was like, fuck, why didn't I let those assholes die? like there's some fantastic writing just because like I could feel myself like not my character, but me actually just getting so frustrated with them and just wanting to like do the renegade action immediately to try and kill them. And then realizing that I couldn't was driving me crazy. But you know, there's some really, the writing is so good in yeah. that game. There's so much, and there's just so much stupid, fun little stuff in it. But when you get your ship, when I imported my level 60 character, it was apparently a woman because mm-hmm. I mean, I'd played through the game so many times that I think I was just like, oh, whatever, I'll create a woman and, you know, get some lesbian sex going or something sure. in the first game.
Woo.
And so I created her, and like in my first trip onto my new ship, you have a yeoman. Is that the name of it? It's
right.
like, that's basically the captain's secretary. It says, oh, you have email.
That's what a yeoman is.
Yeah. And within like 2 minutes, I was flirting with her, even though I wasn't even trying to. I was just trying to be friendly.
Yeah, well, that's Lieutenant Slutsky, I believe.
Yeah. So it's like I'm hitting on my secretary, and then...
Good job.
And then I start hitting on the one black guy on the ship immediately after that.
Yes.
So yeah, apparently my Janiqua Shepherd is just a complete slut, so... I did not intend for that.
But. Yeah. Well, I do.
Name her Janiqua.
Yes.
Nice.
I do applaud
She's
the fact.
She's white, though.
I applaud the fact that, like, finally in a video game, we have the seduce the secretary mechanic that I've longed for all my life in video gaming.
Well, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't actually.
You're playing as a dude now.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I haven't actually.
He's playing as a dude.
I am. I'm a dude playing a dude.
I'm a lady.
Playing a dude. But yeah, I mean, I haven't actually gone through that mechanic, but yeah, I mean, that yeoman, pretty much the first time you meet her, you can start trying to sex her up.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a little shocking just because of, you know, there's in Mass Effect 1 and 2, there's the romantic side plot to, you know, and you can kind of pick which way you want to go with that. And, mm-hmm. They built that up far too much in Mass Effect 1 and, you know, it was what it was, but yeah, it was just kind of shocking how quickly, you know, I was like, oh, well, obviously yeah. she's one of the targets because mm-hmm. it was like very first conversation. You know,
yeah.
It was an option, but
it's,
yeah. The only other thing I really want to say about it is playing this game, it's refreshing and disappointing that there aren't more things that assume that adults read or want to watch or enjoy sci-fi. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I don't get it. I mean, there's so many things out there. It's like they PG-13 it up or whatever, and
yeah.
and this doesn't go like the extreme, like, you know,
Visceral yeah, Games yeah. present.
It's
yeah.
not,
Mass
it's
Effect
not well,
two.
And it's not like Rogue Warrior where it's like
right.
fuck this, fuck that.
Yeah.
It's like when people swear, it actually means something, but a lot of them it's just like a very casual thing.
Right.
It's like, well,
yeah, other
we're
than
in the shit now.
You know? Other than like, Jack, who, you know, is that's just she's yeah. the kind of extreme chick, but is I think totally missold early, you know, in
yes.
the early promos. She's actually a great character. But spoilers that Jack's a chick, but whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just it's intelligent and yet, you know, aimed for adults, and it's selling well. And you know, come on, we can handle this. Let's give mm-hmm. us more everything like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
And
understand
it's just
why
and it's
like
fun.
This.
They've made the shooting better.
Yeah.
It's still not great. It's definitely no.
It's
not
huge improvement though.
Yeah, it's a huge improvement, but it's not gonna rival Gears of War or
no,
anything like
no.
that. But it's not really supposed to. And I like that they've streamlined a lot of the powers, so you don't have like 50 choices that, and you only use like 3 or 4.
Yeah, well,
you kind of
like
boil
the,
them.
I
down
like the to, button. You know, the quick use button
yeah,
thing.
There's a quick use button. There's You know, I just like that they've streamlined that. I like that they took out the Mako entirely, even though scanning planets kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's... And then the only step that I really think that they made a mistake on was on the ship map, where you have to have fuel in order to get anywhere.
Right.
I don't get why. It does. It kind of... And as far as another step back, I think, is reloading in the game.
Yeah.
Which kind of adds a little bit reloading. More to the... Yeah. A little bit more to the combat, but it's just, I don't know. It seems like maybe it's because I'm too early in the game, but it seems like no weapon I have lasts more than like 2 seconds worth of shots before I have to freaking reload over and over.
Right. Yeah, that was annoying me at first, but I think I either got more powerful and my shots counted for more, or ammo just became more plentiful. And it's not even really ammo. They heat sink clips or something. Exactly. They say basically your weapon heats up and you've got to change this heat sink thing or something.
It's ammo, but it's not. Yeah, it's kind of lame, but yeah. I don't know. And I just don't like your ship having fuel and just the annoying having to go back to wherever the port is to get more fuel and get more probes to scan the planets.
There are upgrades for that.
Yeah. But still it's like, I don't know. It's just kind of, it felt kind of pointless and kind of just like an addition that they didn't need because maybe it stood out because they had streamlined so much of the other stuff that it was like, it was a lot easier to get around in the first one than it was in the second one.
I got to where I was pretty good at cleaning out planets of resources. So, yeah. I mean, especially after there's an upgrade that makes it go much faster. If you want to call it a spoiler, I guess, but there is a mission you can do for Miranda, who's one of the characters. And at a certain point in the game, when you ask the characters, they can suggest upgrades for your ship or weapons or whatever. And hers is an upgraded mineral scanner. So I would recommend going.
I think I got that before I did her mission.
No, maybe I'm just wrong. It just seemed like that's where I first noticed it.
I'm hoping there's a second one that makes it even faster.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah. But they took so many steps forward that those few minor steps back don't really matter all that much to me.
And I've heard some criticism about the end of the game, which obviously I won't talk about, but maybe it's not as epic as the first one, but it was plenty satisfying for me. I mean, you know, if we want to liken this to the, you know, massive trilogies, I mean, if this is the Empire to the Star Wars, then Empire's ending's not as epic as, you know, you know what I mean? It's like, this is the second chapter, you know, there's more to come.
Yeah.
You know? So
well, we'll see. I like that they've streamlined so much. I like that they don't have those achievements with the allies that forces you to keep one pair of people through the entire game.
Yes.
It encourages you to use use everyone. And
which was very nice. I liked that because I like everybody for different reasons.
Yeah.
I think I used everybody but like one person except for the times you have to for their mission.
Well, and it's fun to just have certain people to see what happens when you go through sections of the game with them. You know, there's a part early on where the only characters that won't catch a certain disease if they go in an area are the human ones. And if you try to take one of the other ones, they'll kind of be like, are you sure you want to take me in there? Are you sure you want to kill me? Like, I mean, I'll go. I'm not complaining or anything, but yeah, you know, I mean, it's fun to do little things like that. And
Shepard.
Yeah. Yeah. Grunt isn't quite as cool as Rex.
No. But he gets cooler.
Rex has like the best voice ever.
Yeah. And that's a quick thing to say is the voice acting in this. Wow. I mean, some great casting choices, even in small roles. You know, sci-fi fans, you'll catch them. You know, there's certain ones you can't miss.
Yeah. And most of them don't like stand out as being the people that they are, except maybe Martin Sheen.
Yeah. Martin Sheen. Who else? Oh, I caught Michael Dorn right away. He's one of the Krogan people. And yeah, they do a little something to their voice because they kind of a little bit of a guttural sound for the Krogan. So they ran his voice through some sort of synthesizer, but it's still Worf.
Yeah.
But
yeah, overall, buy it.
Yep. Definitely.
Buy it. It's good.
Yeah. I could gush much, much longer, but I won't.
Yeah. And BJ is just...
You?
Wake up. What? Dude, what? Wake up.
What?
Sorry.
Hello? Okay, we're done talking about Mass Effect.
We didn't do too bad. That was only like 20.
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Did we start the podcast?
Yes, we did, actually.
Oh.
So, okay. BJ, what have you been playing, buddy?
Well, I just had a really cool dream while you guys were talking about Mass Effect.
What was it about?
Were you born 8.5 months premature?
Yeah.
The doctors were freaking out.
And there's this like Mako shark that was coming to get me after I was like, I don't know, I was driving a Jeep Renegade. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But no, I've actually been playing a fuckload of Borderlands.
God. Yeah, it totally grabbed you, didn't it?
It did. You've
caught the Harlow disease as far as Borderlands goes.
Yeah, I put Fallout down and picked up Borderlands because Fallout was frustrating me. I might talk about that.
Go back.
I might talk about that later, and you might be right. I might never go back. but there's something that's souring me on that game, and I can't figure it out yet. So we'll see. But
that you've played Borderlands, you wish the combat was more like that.
Wait, souring you on Fallout?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. I'm not entirely sure what it is. I think it's the combat again. That's just I mean,
it is. I will love Fallout, but I will admit if it had, like you said, if it had Borderlands combat,
yeah, game over.
Also,
yeah.
It seems like you progress so slowly in Fallout. But anyway, Borderlands, which is newer and I think awesomer. Goddamn, that game is ridiculously good. I beat it. And then I went and purchased the Zombie Island of Dr. Ned expansion, or DLC. And last night I actually purchased the Mad Moxie's Underdome Riot DLC, even though that is horrifically flawed, and I know it. I still wanted to finish it and, you know, finish the fight.
And we're close.
We're close. We got one more giant...
one more 2.5 hour arena.
Yeah, 2.5 hour arena match. But... You know, I had a lot of fun playing that last night. It was pretty awesome.
I did up until a point.
Yeah.
When you do two in a row.
Yeah, we did two in a row, and you're lucky you came in for the second one. You actually joined like as we were finishing up.
Yeah, literally the certificate was coming up for finishing that
round. And
but I had already done the first one, so it was just Mackie that had to do that one over again.
Me?
No, you'd done it.
Yeah. You did it. We did the first
one. Yeah, I know, but I'm saying I had to play it over
again. Well, yeah, you had to play it over again.
God, that mode is just so flawed.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating that they did it that way.
And I figured it out. 15 rounds would be the outside. Would be the absolute outside. Because that's where I started to lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you guys started to lose interest too. But
you came up with the best theory today, though. And I think you're absolutely right.
Oh, Berserker?
Yes.
Yeah,
Berserker. If you were a level 50 Berserker playing on the Horde mode, or, you know, just in general on that, especially the Horde wave would be amazing.
Yeah, because you just rage out and blast things.
Yeah, there were certain waves where, like, we eliminated them in, like, literally less than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And it was so awesome because everything
especially
was just
those,
exploding
like those
first
around five rounds or so.
It was later ones.
Yeah.
Like, where speed was turned on. And
yeah. God damn.
I can't
even
remember what
else.
We
annihilated shit. It was...
Yeah, it's bad because the fun comes and goes.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
rocket launcher
you'll,
mode.
You'll have like three, you know, maybe two or three rounds in a row where you're like, these are annoying bonuses. They only help the enemies. Yeah. And then like,
or we'd
you know,
get gun wave and we just like, fuck gun wave. Fuck,
run around and find the dudes that don't move.
Pistols.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pistols only.
Pistols only.
But yeah, I mean, it's like,
well, it doesn't limit you to a specific weapon, which is good, but it reduces the damage for the weapons that isn't.
But
it was pistols for like, it seemed like two rounds in a row we had three waves or more with pistols, and that sucked, but I just stuck with my trusty shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
But the one you were talking about, it was Horde mode, or the Horde wave, and it was also rocket launcher.
That's right.
The rocket launcher.
The only way it can get better is low gravity and rocket launcher.
Yeah, and
that's just fun right there.
I came up on
It'd
this.
Be like the Quake days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I came up on this little I don't know what you call it, but this little raised portion of the map, and Mackie is surrounded by like 10 guys, and I was like, boom, and all of them blew to pieces.
My screen like stopped. It was going like half a frame a second, trying to render everything that was on fire or exploding around me.
Oh yeah, it was beautiful, especially from my view.
Yeah, but that mode, I've noticed, like, you get some significant slowdown.
Oh, yeah.
When things really go nuts, you know.
Well,
and
we had one round.
Harlow's burning guys with acid, and you're lighting them on fire, and I'm electrocuting them.
I think
them.
This is the first time we ever saw this, but we had one where there's one that the speed one with the rabbit where it speeds you and the enemies up. And then there's one called Caffeinated, which speeds just the enemies up. And both of those were on at the same time.
Ah, that's what
and that you was couldn't even fucking shoot insanity.
Yeah.
That was chuck every grenade I had because mm-hmm. I have, you know, the one that just fans out and finds people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh. That was
but
that didn't need to happen.
But that mode is truly flawed because I was level 21 and I was the one who started the game because really there's no point in playing if you're all the same level unless you're really into suffering. And you were, BJ, you were like level 45.
46, I think.
Yeah, you were way up there. Harlow was 50 and he's been 50 for 3 months
now. I've been 50 for a long time.
And me being the level 21 guy, it was taking me forever just to kill like one or two guys. I mean, it was,
it's tough.
It took a while. Well, and I can't imagine trying to play this at the level that.
Yeah, by 18, 19, 20, I mean, they were in danger of killing us, who are in theory 30 levels higher than them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, and why make it that punishing? I mean, I don't understand. They basically made it so. The lowest guy has to start the game.
Yeah.
And everyone else has to be significantly higher.
And
else you're just going to keep having to restart the damn thing.
You really need to play that mode with three or four people. Because playing it with two players is two manageable, but sucks. But three is good. I think four would be heinous. I don't think the enemies would stand a chance at that point.
No. Well, it was just weird because there were certain points where I just got up and did laundry and just left my guy because I knew that I was not, it didn't make any difference whether I was killing things or not.
Yeah. Generally, if you don't shoot guys and they're around, they're not going to come after you unless it's like horde mode or horde wave. So, you know, you can hang back and not die. And I think I went out for a second, I stopped playing and let Harlow take over the massacring duties full time. But,
It's cool, but you got to have somebody higher. And
definitely.
I don't know, and it just there's so many glitchy things with the slowdown and with the other stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot going on for that style of play. I playing single player, I haven't noticed any sort of slowdown like that.
Yeah, I love the game, and that mode. It's like they designed a mode that just shows all the flaws in it
pretty much.
Once.
Maybe that's
doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, why would you do this to yourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've talked our hate to that. So,
Especially when Zombie Island's so good.
Yeah. I do kind of want to talk about a little bit about single player.
Okay.
Because I've beaten the game at this point and I'm on my second playthrough. I was really disappointed with like the middle of the game story wise. The end of the game, I think it did pick up. The actual end of the game was okay. I know some people had problems with it, but I don't give a fuck about those people because I thought it was kind of a neat ending. It definitely left me with a lot of questions, which is good. You know, I like to think everyone's
Borderlands 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're doing a Borderlands 2, considering the commercial success. But
thank goodness, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because it would suck if this game had not sold well.
Yeah.
It would be such a bummer.
It would. And it does need... You know, it needs some more work also.
I'm hoping this is Diablo to Diablo 2. Like, this is good, and the next one's going to be like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Well, eight classes.
who was it? Stephen Palmer from the producer of Borderlands, when asked, said that they're looking at focusing a lot more on the story and the AI for the next game because they're really trying to get... trying to get shit to blow up good in the first game.
Yeah.
Trying to get all the weapon systems and all the loot systems and the explosions and the enemies to kind of get them out there and get them right. Because, you know, you can write better story, but once you have a gameplay mechanic, it's hard to really, if it sucks, it's really tough to fix it. If it's, you know, if you have a kind of a mediocre story, you can write a better story the next time.
Right.
But it's hard to change core mechanics of a franchise.
It's like we were talking about earlier. You said that, you know, it's like they got all the little touches right all over the place.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they got the combat right. And then they just left kind of the story.
Yeah.
It was weird that they had all this polish in one area and then almost none in the other.
Yeah. But, you know, the story, the overarching story is kind of cool, I think. Like you said, when we were talking earlier over dinner, there's very little dialogue in the game. It's mostly text-based. And I can understand that and even excuse it to some extent, but they definitely need to work more of that out. The voice acting that they have in the game is really good.
Oh, yeah. Just the random stuff guys were saying as we were killing them last night is awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, the random screaming that all the enemies do and the psychos, they're,
"Ah! I think it's time for my pound of flesh!"
And they just sound awesome and, and evil and insane. I'm definitely looking forward to Borderlands 2. I may actually purchase that retail when it comes
out. It's funny because for a while there, you would go and you'd buy part two of a game and the best you could hope for was more of the same. And now it seems like some of my favorite games are sequels now. I mean, look at Mass Effect 2 is so much better than Mass Effect 1. Yeah. Uncharted 2 is, you take a good game and you made it even better.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for Borderlands 2. I mean, you know, Arkham Asylum 2, I think, you know, I think they're going to ramp that up a bit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just like, it's turning into where, instead of just farting out a sequel, you know, they're actually really putting the polish on the second one.
With the exception of like the sports games, which shit out a new version every year.
They don't count.
And they, well, you know, you have 8 months to, you know, to throw some new modes into a game, and that's all they want, because they're going to sell plenty of units with those. But I think developers know now that when they're making a sequel, if they, you know, really do improve it, you know, that it's going to show on the bottom line, no doubt.
Yeah. And it's easier to iterate on something than it is to create it from scratch, kind of.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And once you've got the feedback that says, hey, this didn't work, you know, because developers get to play their own games eventually, even if they might be completely sick of them.
Right.
You know, they can go back and look at it objectively and go, okay, you know, we really like this, but it was kind of crap the way it ended up in the game.
Well,
speaking about like Mass Effect 2, I mean, they pretty much completely redid the combat. They said, okay, this didn't work.
Yeah, people didn't like this.
Yeah.
And that's what I was about to ask. I mean, do you think that the pervasiveness of the internet and comment system is affecting this? I mean, because we're in kind of a situation now where everyone has an outlet, be it Twitter, forums, whatever, you know, to feedback about this stuff. I mean, do you think that it's valuable? Do you think that they're like actually paying attention? Whereas before they would just be like, man, they don't know what they're talking about. Here's whatever part two, and it's more of the same.
I think the ubiquity has lended some legitimacy to it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can, instead of it being the rabid fanboys out, you know, posting on the whatever That's forums true. Are posting on, a lot of people are posting.
Yeah, and normal still, people.
Yeah.
Sane people. Yeah,
maybe not normal or sane people.
You know, but I mean, and like,
a lot larger slice.
Oh, I didn't realize a forum existed for, you know, Bethesda's games in 1997 that, you know, 30 people were on and knew everything about this game and only that game. And now you have Joe Schmo knows they can go on there and...
Right. Now you have the Wiki site, and you have the official site forums and fan site forums and everything. And I think they have to be looking at it.
Yeah.
You know,
I would think so.
And I think it's more immediate than it was back in, you know, like the EGM days and Game Pro and those things where those were kind of like the only reviews that people had to go by for Nintendo games and Super Nintendo games were those. Whereas now you've got, I mean, love it or hate it, you've got Metacritic and other sites that you know, if a developer really wanted to look and see, okay, what was the knock that kept showing up about my game?
Right.
They can look and they can pretty quickly find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see what the common thread is among games. You know, they could go, Tony Hawk Rise developers go, oh, so the game was broken completely and didn't work. Well,
we should fix that next time.
Now we know what to fix. You know, whereas with, you know, Assassin's Creed, the first one, they're like, oh, well, everyone hated looking for flags, you know, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They can see pretty quickly what those things are and fix them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hope that all the people that are making Borderlands are saying, okay, we we got to get some story in, and we got to give it a better way than just a little text screen that pops up.
Yeah. And on
the mission.
I'd almost be willing to bet that they knew that going in. You know, they knew that the story was suffering for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, but it's also my understanding. I mean, Borderlands is kind of one of those shocker games, because I mean, it's coming from a studio that I don't think is as big, you know, I mean, it's not like they're a 2K offshoot or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I think it is ultimately, yeah, but actually, I mean, it's, you know,
I mean, Gearbox has had some fairly big projects, but they've kind of not recently.
Yeah, nothing of that scale.
Though. Yeah. Nothing that's gone ballistic like that has.
I mean, most of theirs have been pretty much run through a hallway shooter type of things. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, not big, huge open. I mean, that's kind of a different direction for them as far as I know.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that thought they peaked at their first game, which was the expansion for the original Half-Life, Opposing Force.
Oh, was that? Yeah, I knew they did Condition Zero or whatever it was with the Counter-Strike.
Yeah, they did some of that stuff. But I mean, there's people who think that, you know, they didn't get any better than that, because they did all the Brothers in Arms games, which were kind of well received by people. But you know, there's a certain point everyone hit World War II overload.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean that's the problem, is they came in that already saturation of, all right, enough World War II. But you know, like the original Call of Duties, I mean, at least they were trying to do a storyline based thing instead of go out and kill dudes.
Yeah, and those were super storyline based. Yeah. I mean, like all the characters, like it was like a very direct story.
Yeah.
Of course, the problem was they took, I think, 5 years between the second one and the third one, so nobody remembered what the hell happened.
Those things happen.
Yeah.
Anyway. Look at me, who's trying to keep all of the Elder Scrolls stories in my head since 1995.
Right. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Our game. Brothers in Arms. Everything. Half-Life
stuff. We mostly just named most of them.
007 Nightfire.
Oh, damn.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3.
That's a port.
Yeah, port.
Yeah, there's some ports in there.
Samba de Amigo.
Oh, yeah.
That's another port, I believe.
I don't think...
How would you know, really?
No, that's not a port. There was only one Samba de Amigo.
No, there was a Wii version.
What was it on originally? Was it a game?
It was a Dreamcast, and then there was a Wii port only a couple of years ago.
I'll be damned. I was not aware of that.
Yep.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, now you are.
So they're really,
See, the vault right here.
Shoot in the eye.
I am hunting your vault.
Stay away from my face.
Headshot. No,
anyway.
I think I can put a final on Borderlands 1 for now, since I've...
What's a final?
You know, a final opinion.
Oh.
Final thoughts. I fucking love that game.
We can tell.
I mean, it's pretty simple. It gives me everything I want in a shooter, for the most part.
Gives me everything I want in a RPG loot thing with shooting.
Yeah. Yeah, in an
hybrid.
An action RPG.
RPG, yes.
Lookout, Diablo. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Look out.
Yeah, I'm big on it. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it quite as much as you guys.
I kind of, like, when you're doing your playthrough, I kind of want to tag along just to blow shit up. Yeah, and have another reason to blow shit up.
Yeah. I'll get there. It's like, because that's what's weird about the game. Maybe that's why I haven't latched onto it like you guys have, because I've been playing it. It's very seldom that I've played it by myself. It's usually been somebody else jumping in. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, you guys are so much higher than me that you just kill everything.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like tagging along going, all right, that was cool. That blew up real good.
No, I will say, what did we jump in the other day where I was actually, well, I think it's just because you were closer in level to me. We jumped into something, because you're up now like 46, and we actually got into a situation where we were in danger of dying, and all of a sudden it came back to me. It was like, yes, this is why this is fun.
Yeah.
When there's an element of danger involved.
Yeah.
You were playing one of your secondary characters, weren't you?
I don't remember. There's been too much of that.
We were on playthrough. We were going through your second playthrough,
right,
which was a lot further along than mine.
Right.
And and we were kind of getting our asses kicked for a second.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
It's fun when you're in peril.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
It is more fun when there's some risk involved.
Exactly.
We did some little, you know, high fives.
Otherwise, bumps. It feels like cheating.
Yes, it does a little bit.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We've rambled on about two good games for too long.
Games.
I got to pee anyway.
Thank you for sharing.
Thanks for the update.
You're welcome.
You Twitter shitter.
You realize the break is only going to last 20 seconds, so you better hurry now.
I know.
No, don't unzip yet. Please stop.
I'm just peeing right now. Anyway.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back. We are No Quarters PCast.
Back, No Quarters, episode 5, second half.
Podcast.
Yes, it is still a podcast. Casting of pods continues.
Until they shut us down.
Yeah, just in case you're wondering if this was an audio book or perhaps a talk radio.
Until 8-bit remix or whatever that site is. OCR remix shuts us down for taking all their music.
They said we could.
Oh, well, so that won't even happen then.
That's why I provide fantastic links in the show
notes. Until Dennis Dyack shows up and kills us all for ripping on Too Human.
That could happen.
Calling it the most broken game ever.
Yes. Fucker.
Everyone we hated on Gamefly will hunt me down and kill me.
Sure.
Oh, shit. That's right. Gamefly update.
Uh-oh, Gamefly update.
Oh, shit.
Yes. This week in Gamefly.
I cleared out my queue. I had 4 games, all new releases. They waited a week. No reason. Like I sent in Transformers the movie. They sent me the email, "We've received Transformers the movie, the game, the toy, the game, the DVD." And... then
a flamethrower.
No, available on Blu-ray.
And then they went dark for a week. Gamefly was like,
fuck, what are we going to do?
They've gone rogue.
Yeah. They were like, you know, when your roommate owes you money. You know, suddenly your roommate is never home when you are, ever.
Oh, yeah. Bitches be ducking.
That was what Gamefly, did that. And then a week later, they're like, oh, hey, yeah, we ship Darksiders. Enjoy Darksiders, Darksiders. And I was like, but I just got Mass Effect 2. So.
We sent you 2 copies.
Yeah, so I now have Darksiders, but it has not even left the sleeve because, well, Mass Effect 2, right. Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 2.
Yes.
But yes, Gamefly did send me a game. They just took an extra week, so I expect them to give me a $6 discount.
I would expect emails to start coming in and going, hey, can you send that back? Can you send that back?
Are you done with
it? Are you done? Maybe you like NBA Live 06.
NBA 2K6, maybe.
Due to be shut down a few days ago.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, Gamefly did actually send me a game.
Woohoo.
Even though you forced their hand.
Even it took them a week.
Well, speaking of updates.
Updates.
I'm not opening up the rat hole of MMO talk again, but
please don't.
However, I have a quick Star Trek Online update. I played a little bit because it was a pre-order. I was able to play a little bit the weekend before it officially released. It was the early start. Apparently, that counted... kind of like my beta. Like let's put it this way. I have not put in my retail code for the game yet. And that's because I can't get online. I have tried on 2 different occasions where in the little bits of time that I have free time to get on there. And when I say free time, that's not Mass Effect time. And there's a queue just to log onto the server.
Like to register?
Just to get in. Well, I'm assuming you hit a point after you have authenticated and start to go into the game where it says, hey, we're not sure you've purchased this game, put in the key, but I can't even get to that point, much less get into play. At one point, I was number 550 out of 550, and I sat there until I got up down to about 450, and that was about 15 minutes.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
So how do you get your money back for your free month?
I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming that my free month time has not started ticking down because I have not yet
been in the damn game.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that there's not some sort of stupid cutoff time that, you know, my pre-order digital deluxe Steam exclusive shit doesn't work because I haven't been in yet. Yeah.
If I lost my con emote,
Bush,
I would smash
Bush me. League.
Cut!
Bush League.
Yeah, that's...
cryptic. I mean, really.
That sucks.
I mean, wow. I just... It's not WoW, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that happened for about 48 hours with Star Trek, or Star Wars Galaxies. About 48 hours. This is
like a week.
Yeah.
And you still can't get in.
Right.
That's
ridiculous.
Bad.
More than
that's
a week.
Bad.
Yeah, no, it's a week today. Yeah. I tried about 3 times over the weekend, and one was just in the middle of the afternoon, which meant, you know, it's like 2 o'clock here, and that means... West Coast is earlier. You know, this is not peak times of the day or anything. I can't even imagine if I tried it like 9 o'clock or something like that. I probably would have been like number 1500. But yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, they have this thing on their, you know, oh, we understand it's a problem and, you know, expanded capacity is coming soon. Yeah. And that was dated like day of release. And it's like, really, you know, Newegg.
They're like Gamefly. They've gone dark.
Newegg, people. Yeah. Overnight shipping. Let's go. You know, not that hard.
Take all those lifetime subscriptions and buy a new server.
I'm just serious. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know.
That may be the problem. Maybe nobody's.
I you know, there's. I'm just saying, there's got to be a simple bit of math. I mean, you know, you have X number of pre-orders. You know, you have X number of people that were beta testers who may or may not, you know, have decided to get the game that weren't just in the beta test. And then you got to go, okay, triple that for the fan base of Star Trek people that walk in the store. You know how many copies you shipped, you know? I'm saying, like, you know, how can you not be prepared at all?
Maybe their digital distribution went wild.
I guess. You know? I don't know. I just, that just seems crazy.
This is why I don't play MMOs.
I guess. That's just sad.
So, BJ, have you ever been in a queue to log in to Dragon Realms because the servers were too overloaded with text-based
entries? Well, wait, does waiting for the fax count?
I don't recall it happening.
So you're saying Dragon Realms never deals with bandwidth issues?
No, actually they do sometimes because, yeah. Yeah, a lot of stuff goes on. A lot of
typing.
Yeah.
If you type too fast, it just can't keep up at a certain point.
Actually, sort of. It does have a you can only like enter so many commands at a time, you know? So,
well, this is the problem. We just need to turn Star Trek Online into text-based.
Yeah, I think it would be great.
So you're saying in Dragon Realms, the frame rate drops if you type too fast?
No, I'm not, that's not what I'm saying at all, actually.
I'm giving her, actually. Uh-oh, he's getting offended now.
I'm giving her all the pro she's got, Captain.
Yeah. No, I'm just
can't handle any more emotes.
I've had a rough day, so fuck you, and fuck you. Also, eat a dick. No, actually, it just won't let you, like, you have like a type ahead buffer, so you can get like two or three commands ahead, but it won't allow you to get any more than that. It'll say, fuck you, you're typing too much, motherfucker, slow down, have a Coke.
Yeah, I mean, I think in playing Champions Online, I think I hit a queue once, and I mean, we're talking 30, 45 second queue. That's okay. You know, I mean,
like 30 or 45 people playing Champions Online.
Yeah. This was like walk away, nuke a Hot Pocket, walk back. Oh, yeah, I moved up 50 spots.
Just said fucking played Mass Effect 2 instead.
Basically.
And left your queue sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, there's no reason for that. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty.
I can understand that it can happen, but.
Put that much?
Well, obviously, they've got a mechanic for it, so they've expected that it could happen, but it happens once, people. And you call somebody, and you have somebody delivering servers the next day. Really?
Yeah.
Unless they're not making as much money as they thought.
I mean, $50 a copy, that's instant bank right there.
Yeah,
you know,
but
people
up.
Yeah, but
how far in debt might they already be?
In our current economic situation.
I don't know.
That'll buy you a donut and a coffee.
Plus, I mean, apparently, you know, they were talking about that they're going to sell out of their lifetime subscriptions. And not only was it a limited time, there was a limited number. And so they were saying, if you want it, you better get it, so...
Well, obviously, they're going to say that to drive up perceived value, but...
Of course.
Who knows? Whatever. Yeah. It's just Bush League, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to... you should be ready. I can understand... And like I said, I can understand if you're overwhelmed, but...
Yeah, like a day or
two. You get somebody out there... what is it? You said it's Cryptic Games?
Yeah.
Who are they a part of?
Is it Monolith? Is it... I don't know who... I don't know. There's somebody bigger. Somebody bigger than them.
So even if your studio is out of money, you go to your parents and say, hey, I need a loan, you know, lend me 15 servers to get through next Friday and I'll pay you back or something.
Right.
You know, you gotta have.
That's Atari, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
Forget that loan.
Yeah. Yeah. You just go over to the French and you're like, fuck you, get your own servers.
Yeah. But
I got your freedom fries right here.
Either way, you got to do something. Yeah. You know, you got to do something fast. You can't have people in a queue for a week because you're going to hemorrhage subscribers when you do that.
Oh,
like you, Harlow. I mean, you are
I was on the fence already, and now
you were ready.
This is not something that should make me go, oh, gee, yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, when I'm not itching that badly to get in the game in the first place, and then you make it
right.
make me wait 20 minutes to possibly get in,
right.
you know. It's yeah, bad. Whatever.
Unsold.
It's like you're not really hungry, and you're in, you know, you're kind of hungry, and you're in line at Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's when it's going to take the longest.
Yeah, it's taking like 15 minutes to get up to the... up the little box to order, and then you're like, fuck, never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fuck your cinnamon twists. I'm out of here.
Yeah. So, Bioshock 2.
Bioshock 2.
Coming out.
Could be another one of my theoretical better sequels than the first one.
Yeah.
Harlow and I both have pre-orders in. Mm-hmm. We were both big fans of the first one.
Yep.
Looking forward to seeing what it's like. Probably will never play multiplayer.
Probably not.
Probably not.
I have pre-ordered vicariously through you both.
Yeah. Basically, you're waiting to see who finishes it first so you can borrow it.
Yeah.
Well, but then again, you tried out the first one and you didn't like it.
I wasn't a big fan. Yeah. I tried. Granted, it was really, really late at night or early in the morning, depending on your view of things. But again, kind of like Fallout, I think the combat seems a bit flawed. Not in the same ways, but it's a steep learning curve, and then on top of that, it kind of feels like you're not getting enough out of what you're doing, you know? Like, it's too much of a struggle. But...
Yeah, I can see
that. That's not saying that it's a bad game, because it seems like it's a pretty decent game.
You just didn't want to invest the time in it.
I didn't feel like I wanted to invest the time, and I didn't feel like it was worth my time from what I played of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I might go back to it, which means I probably won't, but... You know, I like the stories and the concept are great.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's a bit long though, you know, because I've tried to go back and replay it to get the last couple achievements I had, which was like play it on hard and don't use the Vita chambers or whatever. And every time I start, I get a little bit more in, and I'm like, you know what? I got like another 10 to 12 hours of this, and I'm just I could be playing something new, and that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
So we'll see with Bioshock 2.
Yeah.
That review so far, very good.
Yeah,
very
positive. Looking forward to playing it.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of my only, my resolution for this for 2010 has been to buy less games. Because I went kind of...
Play the games you have.
Yeah, I went kind of nuts in 2009. I bought a lot of games and then didn't have time to play a lot of them. So my goal is to beat a lot of the games that I already have. And Bioshock 2 and Mass Effect 2 were the big ones that I said I was going to get.
And Dante's Inferno.
No, actually, Harlow's got Dante, but... Damn if Alien versus Predator is not tempting the hell out of me right now.
Really? Yeah.
I loved the PC original and the ABB 2, which was really damn good also.
If you finish your vegetables, maybe you can have some dessert.
But I'm sticking to it, and I'm not buying it. I'm holding off.
Complete Need for Speed Most Wanted, and you can buy it.
Yeah.
Well,
here's from you.
Here's my thought about ABP is... It already seems like it's getting kind of middling reviews, so I think it's going to be a budget game pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Licensed games like that tend to be.
I honestly haven't even read any reviews yet.
Yeah. It's not doing badly, but it's not like going through the roof on reviews. Yeah.
Just being a fan of both series, it's one of those things where I'm like, part of me feels almost obligated. It's that dork obligation that meant I watched Alien versus Predator, the movie, and, you know, Alien versus Predator Requiem, even though I knew they were going to be terrible.
But hey, Requiem was great.
It was great in its own way, but compare it to the other movies and it's a piece of garbage. But yeah, well, you know.
Compared to Predator 2, it was great. Whatever.
Alien 3, it's great. I still like Predator 2, shut up.
Hey, Alien 4
Alien Resurrection, I meant. Yeah, Alien 3 actually has its points, but... I'm going to have to budget game that one.
That's a good plan. I said I was going to do that with Mass Effect 2 until everybody came out and was like, oh my God! I swore I was going to wait until that one was cheaper.
Yeah, but, and I kind of pushed you over the edge on that one too.
Because
I kept sending messages. I'm like, oh my God, this is in there.
Well, I didn't think it was that. I think I was pretty much already sold because I was really kind of reading about the importing the character and that whole concept really said, that's interesting. I've just kind of always wanted a game where it feels like a direct continuation, and that's the first one. I feel like they did it well. Yeah. I mean, I can't think of something else other than, you know, linear story-wise, direct continuation. that you had no, you know, you had no direct effect over.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's good. Some good sequels coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think. So you're getting Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
I can't
wait. Is that coming with BioShock too?
Yeah. They're probably going to come on the same day.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't tell you how I'm going to roll that day. You know,
I'm going to come by and take your copy of Dante's Inferno.
Have you seen the weird commercial, like with, I can't remember what song it is, but it's like kind of got like that whole same vibe as, you know, like
Gears of War.
No. Yeah. Oh. Kind of like Gears of War also, but it feels like an old timey song. And
with Dante's Inferno.
Yeah. Where like the devil comes up and steals his girlfriend. So then he's like diving down through the level.
Well, the only one I saw was the Super Bowl one. Is that wasn't that one, was it?
I think that was the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what song it was now.
Well, yeah, they said the surprisingly tasteful Super Bowl ad from Dante's Inferno.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, I just mean compared to what it could have been.
Well, yeah.
I mean, did you never even tried the demo, did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, the demo's batshit crazy. I mean, I don't, it's just insane. I can't, like...
I can't think of anything that might be worse.
No. I can't find anything to justify my wanting to play this game. I feel bad that I want to play this. Like, I feel like I'm playing right into their market.
Yeah.
Because it is raping literature and all that bad stuff.
Yeah, you but know? It's, I mean, basically God of War made by the Dead Space guys.
I know.
That's freaking awesome sounding.
I'm not going to lie. I love me some crazy, over-the-top, stupid action and gore, you know, ridiculous amounts of gore. You know,
God of War by the Dead Space guys. Yes. There you go.
I was kind of angry at the concept of this game, but the closer it's come to actually being in, you know, being in my Xbox, which means the closer it's come to Harlow's doorstep. I'm getting excited about it.
I'm a little giddy about this game.
I want
I'm
to
not
see
lie.
How fucking ridiculous this game is. And yeah, I'm playing right into their hands,
ridiculous.
But I'm not because I'm not going to pay for a copy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we are going to borrow Harlow's copy.
This is
already a given.
I'm a little bit, you know, it's morally objectionable that it even exists, but at the same...
It's morally objectionable that I exist, I'm not...
Let's just put it this way. I feel like I need to own it the same way I felt like I needed to own Showgirls. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a ludicrous take on pop culture, you know, that it's, you know, it's right up my alley, you know? So that's the best way I can liken it. It's the Showgirls of video games. Yeah. And, you know, though it might be more enjoyable. I mean, you know, depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty well polished.
Yeah, it's going to be gratuitous for gratuitous sake. But, you know.
I mean, I think it's going to be a good game that suffers from the fact that they named it that.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Like, Raping Babies, the video game. Yeah. My God, the gameplay is amazing. If only I wasn't raping babies. Again.
That Super Bowl commercial was just, I don't know.
It was a pretty good commercial.
Like I'm saying.
Yeah, it looked really cool.
Let me put it this way. If you played the demo, you would think that was a tasteful commercial.
Oh my God. I might have to load up that demo.
Was it Ain't No Sunshine? Was that
actually
the song?
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
Wait.
So it wasn't.
Like the original version?
I believe so.
I think
yeah.
Wow, I didn't even notice that, but I think we were talking about
commercials.
Yeah,
that was. Yeah, you're right, BJ. That was what it was. Because I guess I got that mixed up in my mind with the Fallout New Vegas trailer that had the Frank Sinatra Blue Moon.
Right.
Which.
Yeah, because Ain't No Sunshine when she's gone.
I need to save my $60 for Fallout New Vegas whenever the hell it comes out.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Oh, God. I need a new Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
You need your job just to pay you in $60 video game coupons. Yeah.
It would work.
Yeah.
It would work. I would cash every one of them in. Believe me.
We should put some more polish in this so maybe they'll send us those games for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not holding my breath.
I'll hold something.
After the hate cast, I don't expect to see any games ever.
No.
Hey, I'm eagerly awaiting Dante's Inferno. Do you hear how much I'm ready to sell out?
You can't, 5 stars.
Did you see IGN and GameSpot?
Harlow
today?
Says it will blow you away.
Yeah.
Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
You will not find a better literary adaptation anywhere.
It'll rape you like a baby. Noquarters.net.
God.
Yeah.
It's going to make your grandma cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess next episode we'll be talking about Dante's Inferno and BioShock 2, huh?
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
See, that's my dilemma now is I really need to beat Mass Effect 2 before I put BioShock 2 in, but...
That's pretty much why I powered through it.
Yeah. Did you ever check what your playtime was total?
No.
Because mine is at like just over 20 hours, and I'm not even halfway through.
I die a little bit inside when I look at the playtime of games, so I don't tend to do
you,
that.
What do you think? Do you think all games should just stop doing that, or do you think they should leave them in?
No, I think it should be out. I'd still be playing Counter-Strike if they didn't show me these things.
It helps me know which Oblivion save to load.
Yeah.
Out of my, I think I have 200, close to 200 saves.
Oh God, I've got like 500 something.
Yeah, you've deleted some of those, I imagine, though.
A couple.
No. This is why you actually have no space in your heart.
Mass Effect, right? It lets you save 32, and then it forces you to start saving over old ones.
Nice. I started going through, I realized how many Oblivion saves I have, and it's taken up too much space for downloadable content, mm-hmm. so I had to go through and start deleting Oblivion saves.
I should look.
I don't really have that problem.
I got tired of it. I was like, fuck.
Here, let me give you a suggestion. What you do when you go in and you delete your profile.
Do not delete your profile, people.
Your couch. Fuck it.
Yeah, but yeah, so I'm gonna have to find a way to power through Mass Effect 2, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Well, here's what you do: I'm power through that, you know, just get through the main story and then go back later and do the side shit.
What, like all the loyalty stuff?
Well, the loyalty stuff's fast. It's really fast.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like 10-15 minute missions for each person.
God.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
There's one really short.
I'm gonna have to do that then. That's my only choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I have to do it before I put Bioshock 2 in. Because if that's I don't, point. Then I'm just gonna play all the way through Bioshock 2 and then be like, "Where was I in Mass Effect?"
Yeah, you're gonna if I want to play a second playthrough of Mass Effect, you're gonna want to at some point. So I say power through it now and go back and be completist later.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's kind of what I did. I mean, I did a little bit of exploring, but not crazy.
Yeah.
You didn't 100% that yet, right?
No, because, I mean, I don't...
I know you don't
actually,
try for
if,
it, but...
Well, no, well the thing this game is very different from the first one in that if you can pick Insanity from the beginning,
yes.
And if you were to play through on Insanity and
you could
try to do everything, you could conceivably get all, 1,015 points in one playthrough.
Yeah, if you've played Mass Effect 1. Because there's one where either play through twice or play through with an imported character, and it's like the long service medal. Which I got because I was continuing in Mass Effect 1 game. Mm-hmm.
But whereas Mass Effect 1, you had to play through basically 3.5 times before you could get all 1,000 points.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they were long playthroughs.
Yeah, the only
that's much better in this one.
I don't know that I'm going to commit to doing the Insanity. I'd have to try it. I mean, I'm at least going to get a higher level character before I even attempt it. So.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, one of the achievements is, you know, get a level 30 character, and I'm already, I think, 26 in one playthrough. And granted, that's with the, you know, a few level bonus from the import, but I don't imagine those first few levels would take much to level up anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway.
God, I got freaking 4 levels left to go
before you can put away Borderlands.
Before I 100% just the retail version of Borderlands without DLC.
And then we just have to power through another 3 hours.
I finished Zombie Island. Yeah, I was talking about, I've got 4 more levels to go before I finish the retail version.
Right. Yeah, you get your level 50, and then all we got is that one last Mad Moxie arena.
Yeah.
And then we will never go in there again except to use the bank.
Right, and I can hang it next to Need for Speed Most Wanted, you know, as my other completed game.
And if somebody else we know gets it and then says, "Help me go through Mad Moxie," we're like, no.
Fuck.
Sorry, buddy.
Here's what you do. You go and you start a new Xbox Live account. You make a level 1 character.
Yeah.
And you walk into Mad Moxie's with that character.
Yep.
But you know what? Even then, it would take us friggin' 2 hours to get through each friggin' thing.
No, I'm saying for this theoretical other person.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get another controller.
Yeah. You're smart.
I know.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's what I'm saying. Get another controller. Yeah, split screen it. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was just saying. I think pretty sure you'd need another account of some sort. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it could be an offline account or not.
I don't know.
Something to test.
Check it out.
Anyway, you want to get to some value picks?
Oh, sure. Let's keep it a little bit shorter
this week.
Yeah.
Get some value.
All right.
Some bang for your buck.
Short podcast, high value.
Yes.
We try. Really not that short a podcast.
Well, speaking of value, here we go. High value. Okay, well, it's in the spirit of sequels coming out. I'm going to go ahead and recommend you pick up the first Battlefield Bad Company. Just, I believe, $20. in general.
God, that's another game tempting me. Tempting me.
That's a fun game. The first one is fun. Good destructible buildings. You know, good. An actually surprisingly good single or co-op experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want it, it's pretty much a full-fledged, you know, Battlefield, Modern Combat, whatever, clone.
Yeah.
You know, for the online portion.
Mm.
It's pretty much, I mean, they didn't really skimp on the multiplayer. It's pretty much a new version of what is it? Is it what is it called? Modern Combat? Whatever the hell the...
Modern Warfare?
Well, it's not Modern Warfare, but the...
Combat whatever, Evolved?
Whatever the hell. Battlefield 2. Yeah. They called it Modern Combat or something like that.
Yeah, I forget, but yeah.
Yeah, whatever, whatever Battlefield 2 was. This is the modern era of... I think it was Battlefield 2, whatever
It was pretty version. Much Battlefield designed for consoles.
Yes. You know,
the other ones were kind of ports of the PC version, right. But this is one that was designed to work on consoles. And I mean, it's a full-fledged Battlefield game, multiplayer.
But I'm just saying,
all
it has,
of that's there.
It has a surprisingly good single-player.
Yeah, it's got a really good single-player tacked on.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's another one of my big list of games I have that I need to play all the way through and not just play the first two levels and then start on something else, which is what I keep doing. But yeah, that one.
Oh, well.
And that one, and that had co-op.
It did.
We need to play some of that.
I think we did.
Hmm.
Well, we probably we did. More.
Well, we played more multiplayer, but.
Did we? Okay.
But yeah, that is, that game's a fantastic value for $20, even just for the single player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sure the online is going to have less value now, but.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. With,
yeah,
with unfortunately. With two coming out.
It's but, gonna, you know, it's worth $20 just to play the single player and or, you know, co-op.
Some really great characters in that game, too.
Mm-hmm. It's fun stuff. I like that they're just all out for money. It's just it's a funny, funny combat philosophy. It's basically the Three Kings,
and it's a funny game.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some really good one-liners, and the characters are just genuinely funny and likable.
Yep. Unlike Army of Two, which is also cheap, I felt them very, bleh.
Yeah. No,
bad. We're extreme high-fiving and butt slapping.
No, Bad Company's a much better.
Yes.
Game. So, BJ, you got a pick for us?
I sure do.
What you got?
It's a tiny little game called Red Faction Guerrilla. You can get it
known as Space Asshole.
Space Asshole, indeed. You can get it about $20 right now, and it is GTA 4 in space.
On plus, Mars.
Yeah, well, which is in space.
With destructible
environment. Well, not really. With Mars is a planet, and space is above it.
You're going to get punched.
It's in space compared to us. Fuck off.
Okay.
Spatially.
Spatially, fuck you. So, it's about a mining colony on Mars, and you're a dude whose brother has been killed, and basically you fuck up the evil corporation.
You fuck up Mars, basically.
I love that your missions are basically go destroy this building.
Yeah, go destroy
it. Which is like, I was going to do that anyway. So
yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yay! Well, you're a demolitionist or demolition man.
You run around with a gigantic hammer.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you were mining for scrap, and now you're mining for justice.
Yeah, this is a strange game. It's like, it's getting late love. I mean, this was released early last year, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean...
And nobody played it.
Nobody played it. Now some people are like, wait a second, this is...
Now they're getting it cheap. People are realizing
I mean, it's just like people are going, hey, this is a good game. And I mean, Microsoft just released Avatar gear for it. I mean, it's just, it's bizarre. It's like out of nowhere.
Okay, why release Avatar gear and not release the sledgehammer?
Fucking space hammer.
Yeah.
God, everyone wants a space hammer.
Mm-hmm.
I would have probably paid the money to get a space hammer.
Me too. I told you, we were talking the other night and we were talking at work.
Yeah.
And you said, hey, Borderlands, games invaded my brain. Space Asshole gear on Xbox Live for avatars.
And the first thing everyone asks.
And I said, Space Hammer? And I went online, and that's what I looked for. Was Space Hammer? No Space Hammer? No Space Bucks for you, Microsoft.
Yeah. I would probably pay the $5 if my avatar would just swing around wildly, you know, in that stupid, like, cartoony way with the big hammer.
Yeah.
I would have paid $5 if he just sat there smacking against his palm, looking menacing.
That would have been cool.
That would have been awesome.
And, you know, give it a couple test swings and then smack it against his palm.
Ooh, break your screen. That would be awesome. Every once in a while, just cling.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But now it's...
Get on it, Microsoft.
It's $20. It's got some kind of fun multiplayer modes that aren't really all that important. What you want to do is get in a truck, drive it off a cliff, blow some fucking buildings up.
Just be a space asshole.
Be a space asshole. That's really the core mechanic in that game is... destroying shit, ruining people's days.
Yeah, it's glitchy like most, you know, open world games are, but yeah. it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, I it's mean, so it, much fun. It, yeah, it's got some glitchy stuff, and there's some weird stuff that happens when buildings fall on you. But
it's a great sandbox, though. Yeah, but it really is.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So get yourself some space, asshole.
Yep.
What about you, Mackie?
I'm going to go kind of generic here, but I'm going to go with the original Mass Effect.
Okay,
it's
fair
only,
enough.
It's only $20. If you're going to get Mass Effect 2, you should play Mass Effect 1 first. And yes, there's going to be a lot of crap that you don't like about it, but just play it on easy. Don't bother with the side missions. Just do the story stuff, and you will enjoy the hell out of that game.
Think of Mass Effect as Buffy Season 1.
Yeah.
You kind of suffer through it. It's okay. It's good. There's parts.
You need that base.
But you need that base, and yep. it gets so much better.
Yeah. And I would suggest getting the PC version over the 360 version.
Really? For yes. both? Because, I mean, you're obviously going to want to keep your saves. Yeah.
Because they streamlined the menu system. That was a big complaint with Mass Effect 1 was you got a trillion and one weapons and they all sucked. Or at least you had no, you didn't know what was what. And this all you true. Basically ended up doing was selling them and it was just a pointless thing. And Mass Effect 2, they took all that out and they basically said, here's the weapons you have.
You pick up upgrades.
Yeah. For and all of them. Upgrade them.
Yeah.
But I mean, they just the way they handle the menu systems in the PC version is far superior.
Huh.
Because that one came out, I want to say it was like almost 6 months after the first Mass Effect came out on 360. So it was a much improved version. And the only reason I'd suggest going with the 360 version is if you want achievements and if you're going to, if you feel like you're going to be playing Mass Effect 2 on that. Because, I mean, either one works. You know, either one's good. Either version of Mass Effect 2 is going to be good, but.
Yeah,
the Mass Effect 1, the PC version, is the superior version.
Yeah, like I said, pick your poison because you're probably going to want to be locked in for all three games.
Yeah,
wherever you are.
But either one, if you do get 360, install it onto the hard drive.
Yes,
do it immediately.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things. Not recently, but in this later era of the Xbox, is being able to install games.
Yeah. It was weird. I got to the point in Mass Effect 2 where you have to put the second disc in.
Oh, Jesus.
And then I put it in and I hadn't installed it because I hadn't opened it. God, it was like there was a buzzsaw sitting on my shelf. And like, yeah, it was just that thing was cranking. I've forgotten how loud it is because, I mean, whatever game I'm playing, it's installed on the hard drive. That's right. Just a given. But God, that thing just cranked up. And I was like, save, guide button, return to dashboard,
yeah.
Install to hard drive. Like that's... how spoiled I am by having that option now. But installing on the hard drive also eliminates a lot of the pop-in that was in Mass Effect 1. Because that was a big complaint people had. Was
pop-in?
What happened was... it's an Unreal Engine. Yeah, and so... But it would be like a character you were having a conversation with. They'd change the camera angle and he'd be all blurry. And then all of a sudden all his textures would pop in.
Ooh,
like,
ouch.
You know, not maybe half a second later, but it was long enough that you were like, wait, what the fuck?
I actually think I had that for some reason early on in Mass Effect 2. Like some of the first conversations, I think I had that a couple of times and then I never saw it again.
I don't think I've ever seen it in the game in 2, which that's a big thing they fixed.
Maybe I was playing the first one. It all runs together, but I was having a conversation and I could literally see through somebody's face. Like it wasn't there and I could see the wall behind it. So every time they were kind of, you know, everyone sort of sways when they talk.
Did they just have eyeballs poking out?
I don't know. Yeah, just a little brain.
Creepy disembodied eyeballs sitting there.
The brain that wouldn't die.
Yeah. But Mass Effect, definitely, it's a game I love. I've had love for it for a while and definitely recommend it. Especially now that Mass Effect 2 is out. Yeah, when's Mass Effect 3 coming?
Not soon enough.
Damn it.
I'm probably going to do the 1 and 2 playthrough eventually.
Yeah.
When I get around to it. I think I'm going to make myself finish Fallout.
Good plan.
Good luck.
Actually, you could play Mass Effect 1 and it might make you appreciate Fallout more because the combat in that is really
I should go finish off Oblivion and then be like, whoa, Fallout 3 is like Jesus covered in gold.
There's a box quote for you.
Only 2 years too late.
Yeah. That's the Game of the Year edition.
Yes.
The second year.
Game of the Next Year edition. All right. Yeah. So is that about it?
Yeah.
I reckon. I don't think I have anything else to say.
Who wants to tell them where they can find us?
On the internet.
Yeah. Just go on the internet.
No, I think that's my job.
NoQuarters.net.
Yes, noquarters.net is the homepage where you can do most anything. You can subscribe
it's like
in
Zombo.com.
iTunes. You can subscribe in iTunes, leave comments. There's an email link to talk@noquarters, which is where you can email us. We're on the Twitter at noquartersnet. We're on Facebook. Just do a search for No Quarters, surprisingly.
Yeah,
that's about it. Keep it kind of simple.
Yeah.
Go on iTunes, obviously. You can subscribe directly off of the noquarters.net website, but when you're there, be sure and give us a rating and comment if you feel the need.
Preferably a 5-star rating.
Yeah.
We like those.
Yeah, we like subscriptions in general in iTunes. One day maybe we can show up on a page where people who know nothing about video games may, not that we do, but I mean, they just might show up on the homepage and be, what's that?
Yeah. Like, we want game news from people who are not anyone who knows anything about games.
Right.
That's just the kind of news I like.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, go on there and help us spread the word.
Yeah.
You know, our words.
Or are we really going so much for video game news? We're about feelings and...
We're about visceral discourse about games.
We just like talking games.
We like visceral things like Dante.
And his Inferno.
It's like hanging out at a GameStop, except it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
And we don't smell.
Nope.
Yeah. We've showered.
No neck beards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. There's a box quote for you.
It's like hanging out at GameStop, except it doesn't suck.
And there are no neck beards.
And no pre-orders.
You can pre-order the next episode of NoQuarters.net.
Would you like to insure it? Yeah. Would you like to trade in your old episodes of No Quarters? Yeah.
Trade in your old episodes of NoQuarters.net.
You have to give us a dollar. That's actually not worth anything.
New ones are free.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, let's get out of here.
Yeah, we're also free. Free to listen to.
Free.
Tell your friends.
Freedom.
That's important. In these dire economic
times. Freedom,
people,
in this case, people, is free.
We've just given you this much free entertainment. Just imagine how much free entertainment we can give you in the future.
To tell your friends.
All you have to do is pay us more to do it. And
we and like to be free, paid in attention.
Freedom will continue.
Freedom's just another word for fucking awesome.
For no quarters left to lose.
Nice. All right.
So we're just trying to bang out slogans here. We gotta, we need a slogan.
We're rapping here. We're rapping.
Yeah. All
right.
And go.
It's a little improv.
Yeah. Pass me the idea stick.
Yeah. We are the assholes in triplicate.
The idea to Tonka.
Yeah.
God.
Nice. All right, let's get out of here. I'm Mackie.
I'm The Beach.
And I'm Harlow.
And we're the assholes in triplicate from noquarters.net signing off.
Fill out your ID 10T form.